This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick's back in town. We got a special guest as we talk all about Burnt City.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And we're back. We took a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And we got a special guest with us this time. We're coming back strong.
Hey, man, we are here to win, Brad. We're here with Mr. Saller from Burnt City. Now, what is your title at Burnt City?
We kind of all go by head brewer.
Everyone's a head brewer there?
Yeah, pretty much. Founder, you know, my role has changed quite a bit as the needs of the business have changed. At the moment, I'm mostly in brewery operations, quality control, some sales when I can fit it in.
Okay. Nice. So we were off for a week. Nick was traveling in bourbon country, and I was all around here. But I think we want to mainly talk about Burnt City and what's...
Yeah, I say we dive right into it, talk about Burnt City. And then you guys just got back from the 30th annual Great Taste of the Midwest. How was that for you, man? Then you came back with some hardware I saw, man.
Yeah. We won a very impressive runner-up to the best table display Great Taste of the Midwest. It was, as always, a wonderful festival. This is, I believe, my 13th or 14th year attending, although this is our fourth or fifth actually pouring beer.
Yeah.
But... You know, everybody brings out their best stuff at that festival, and it's a beautiful space, friendly environment. This year, the weather cooperated, so it's always a festival that I look forward to.
So what was your table display?
So in keeping with the Burnt City theme, we actually donated some beer to the Rebuilding Exchange for a fundraiser they were doing.
Is that like a record shop or something?
What's that?
Is that a record shop or something?
No, it's they reclaim old buildings, and they have just this massive warehouse full of cool stuff to build things out of. So we went over there and we built some sort of like gate pieces, set them on fire, nailed a bunch of metal and scraps to them, some tiki torches, burlap sacks. But then I think what really put us over the edge for the table display was the first annual Burnt City Bucket Chuck, which is it's like Bozo's Buckets, but with a bowling ball.
Oh, nice.
So when I wrote to the organizers of the Great Taste to see if they would be willing to let us do this, at the end of it, I signed my email. I said, feel free to tell me. I won't be offended. John, this is the worst idea we have ever heard. Don't ever email us again. But they wrote back and they said, sure, sounds great. So we had people chucking bowling balls into Home Depot buckets. They completely shattered and everybody had a great time.
It seems like bowling balls and drunk
That's
people.
Intense, man. I'm listening to this like, man, what kind of setup is this? But I guess it was a good time, man. Now, now what we're drinking today is a Little Taste of Fall, the Oktoberfest Lager, pouring very nicely, by the way. Mm-hmm. What were the other beers that you brought when you went to Madison?
So we didn't actually take the Oktoberfest to Madison.
Okay.
We've packaged it so that it can get in the pipeline. In my opinion, still a couple weeks before I want to be drinking and serving Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
So we took the last keg of our Sour Pear Saison collaboration that we did with Penrose earlier in the summer. We took a bourbon barrel-aged version of our Forsaken Imperial Stout. We took our Lime Rattler, the retrofit, which is our summer seasonal. We took our Face Melter Hibiscus IPA, a barley wine, and our double coffee freight handler milk stout. So it's a good lineup, you know, mix of our standards and then some special stuff that we busted out for the festival.
Mm-hmm. How was everything received?
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm glad you held back on the Oktoberfest at that fest because my buddies up at Wild Onion, they have this really cool pumpkin ale, and I love the pumpkin ale. But yeah, like you said, it's like middle of August, and you're drinking it, like, man, this is fantastic. But you're like, in the back of your head, you're thinking the season's over, and you know you're drinking a pumpkin beer,
and you're sad,
and you know, yeah, and you just have this moment of gloom,
weeping right? into your pumpkin beer.
It's good, but that's the end of summer.
Yeah. Now, did you get a chance to hit any other events or anything else when you were up there?
Oh, yeah. My cousin lives in Kansas City. He is I don't even know how to describe the levels of his beer nerdery. He's younger than us. He's really excited about beer, and he was really excited about coming to this festival. So for days ahead of time, he was texting me and Facebook messaging me and emailing me about, you know, which pre-events we should go to. Okay. It's just like, yeah, we'll figure that out. So, we rode up very early together, and Central Waters had an event with a bunch of special stuff, so we hit that up. We went to the Children's Museum. Always is a great time. Yeah. They closed the Children's Museum, and then all of the people who were on the wait list to pour at the Great Taste pour beer there. There's pizza, there's cheese, and then there's a lot of stuff to climb on. There's a hamster wheel that people get hurt in annually. So that's a great time. We went to a couple other bars that had good tap takeovers, and had lunch at Ale Asylum, and checked in with our buddies at Next Door Brewing. They do a good job there. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one time I went the day of on the Guild's bus, or no, not the Guild's bus, the...
The Chicago Beer Society.
Beer Society's bus. So I missed all the pre-parties, but everyone says the pre-parties are even better than the event in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, for those of us who have a lot of exposure to a lot of different beers, I feel like sometimes it's more fun to just try fewer beers in greater quantity.
Okay.
So, you know, you get to go and try a whole pint of a beer that you're really interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little more relaxed. Although, you know, having the Great Taste in a park the way it is with music and food and enough breweries that if you don't feel like waiting in line, you never have to wait in line. It's a pretty chill event also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got stuck at the museum in that slide 1 year. Oh, and that was pretty rough. But they had some rare cheeses.
You missed the whole taste.
I was like, you know, they had to call an ambulance, you know.
There was cheese there. I'm just picturing this.
I remember like upstairs there were like birds and snakes that
the next day, children were getting stuck behind him.
Like, Mom, this kid's been in there forever.
He smells like cheese and beer.
It's a fun time, man. I love Madison, Wisconsin, man. Yeah. I miss, for those who don't know, Burnt City is recently new as a name for you guys. You started as Atlas Brewing maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. First time I had you guys was at the Oak Park Microbrew Review. Okay. So I miss going to the pub. You know, I'd go to the pub all the time because it was a stop on the brew bus.
Yeah.
You know, so I miss going over there. But you guys have a really cool setup at the pub in Burnt City. And I was going to ask you about... the name change, like you guys changed the name. Did you know about this other pub before this whole name chasing kind of fell in your lap?
You mean about the other Atlas? Yes.
The other Atlas, yeah.
Washington, D.C., right?
In D.C., there's a brewery, Atlas, and we had been aware of them. We opened before they did. They filed paperwork before we did. It took us a few years to work out who was going to keep the name. We never would have chosen to go this way in a vacuum, but now that it's done, we're pretty happy with the new brand. And I think, as you can see from the mechanical T-Rex in a hat with a beer on our can, we're having a little more fun with it this time around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like party time all over this can. Now, who came up with the logo? Because it's very recognizable, especially at the pub. Like, it looks great, you know. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, Mighty Few They did our previous design work as well, and we've been really happy with what they've come up with.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think these cans stand out and look even better than the other ones, because the other ones also kind of looked a little like the Brickstone pub cans. Like, they had a similar color scheme going, so I like pop a little more, and like, I don't know, the colors are very vibrant on these.
Yeah. And that they're a little more, there's a little more action, movement. Uh-huh. The other ones, we purposefully went a little bit on the classic conservative side the first time around. The landscape was very different when we were starting Atlas than when we were starting Burnt City.
Right.
And I think that these cans are, there's more happening on them.
Did the new name take quite a bit to come to like a conclusion on, because it is very Chicago.
That's true. Yeah, like, what were some of the other names that you dicked around with?
Oh, jeez. We have spreadsheets. They were all either terrible or taken by other people or both. And we were kind of despairing. We had a couple ideas. I honestly don't actually remember what they were, where we're like, yeah, that's fine.
And then we have to.
And then my brother was just sort of thinking about how we had the Face Melter. We had Balloon Boy was the original name of our farmhouse wheat, but we had dropped the Balloon Boy because we just called it the farmhouse wheat when it was Atlas. And then our business partner really wanted to name a beer Dick the Butcher, because that's the Shakespeare character who says, first let's kill all the lawyers. And then we have Freight Handler. So my brother's like, wow, those are all like characters. And where do they live? Oh, they live in Burnt City. And he texted us. He's like, what about Burnt City? And for the first time probably ever, we all agreed immediately.
Yeah.
So it felt good from the beginning.
Yeah, it makes sense for Chicago being the second city. And then for you guys, for this the second coming, if you will, of the Salar gang and their beers, man. Now, the brew pub shares a space with a bowling alley. Was that always part of the plan? Like, how did that come about?
So Steve, our business partner, owned the bowling alley. Atlas actually was also the same business as the bowling alley, but when we were first opening, because the bowling alley had a very established clientele, it basically ran itself. We decided it would be better to just keep the bowling alley under the 710 name and try to convert, you know, half of the space to this new concept. We thought that would be an easier way to go about it. By the time we were rebranding, we felt like the two could really play off of one another, and that combining the concepts was the stronger move then. So the bowling alley was pre-existing. Steve actually, Steve was one of the early adopters of craft beer in Chicago. He, you know, he knows the Halls, and he knows Randy Mosher, and why am I drawing a blank?
I've Ray read Daniels? His
book. Yeah. He was my go-to reference book when I was, you know, designing beers at home. they had actually, like, discussed briefly opening a brew pub in the 90s. And then for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But Steve had always wanted to have a brew pub. So we converted a piece of the bowling alley, which he already owned, to Atlas, kept the bowling alley as 710, and then when we were rebranding to Burnt City, combined them.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And that corner is now this little happening spot with Delilah and you guys, and Beer Miscuous is right there. So
yeah, it should be a happening spot. It feels a little bit out of the way sometimes. Sure. I think it's still not a part of the city that a lot of people are in the habit of coming to. But I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's busy on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss on weekdays. But there really is a lot. I mean, around the corner, Patty Long's is a great beer bar. Barrel House Flat does cool stuff. So there's really a lot in that two-block stretch. You'd think with both train lines right there.
They keep messing up that bus, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, is that the 11 bus we keep talking about?
That's the 11 bus, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then recently you guys opened up the production brewery, right? On the yes. south side?
Yeah. 99th and Cottage Grove, right okay. by Chicago State.
So are you like in Pullman at that point?
We're across the street from Pullman, okay. technically.
Yeah.
I believe Burnside is okay. the neighborhood we're in. We're in a small triangular neighborhood that nobody has heard of.
Right.
But Pullman is very close, and everybody's heard of Pullman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed that aspect. Like, you know, because if we're going to be, if Chicago's going to be like a destination for beer, like every brewery can't be in Ravenswood, you know?
Right.
So you guys are like, you guys took the leap and you guys are like deep into like a completely different part of town, which is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. And we are slowly working on a tap room. We had to open a tap room just because of the way that our licensing worked. But the process of opening the production brewery, the name change, we've been kind of, you know, overwhelmed as far as, you know, both work-wise and monetarily. So
yeah.
the actual tasting room is moving very slow. It has a maximum occupancy established by the fire department of 6 people.
Whoa.
No way.
So we have this kind of fun idea. This is just, who knows if this will ever be what happens, but where we get it set up with, you know, some old video game systems and whatever, and then we just, you know, rent it out to 6 people for a Friday night, fill the cooler with beer, you know, flat fee, come sit yeah. around, play games, drink beer, and I think that would be a lot of fun.
Rather than like messing up your own house, like, all right, let's go here.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
But then it's a big space in general, right? The production, like, it was old Jay's potato chip factory.
Yeah. Old Jay's potato chip factory. We have 24,000 square feet. The full space is much larger than that. But it's going to take us years to grow into 24,000 square yeah. feet.
Sure. That's huge. Jeez.
Yeah. All right. So we've transitioned from the lager into, what do we got next here?
The Lime Rattler.
Lime Rattler. Now most folks go, I think this is the first time I've seen a Lime Rattler. Like most people go grapefruit or orange. You went lime.
What's up with that?
We like lime.
Let's get to the bottom of this lime situation.
So, what I would say stands out about the Rattler is that it's not technically a Rattler. It doesn't have soda. It's a slightly sweet, low-alcohol base beer with 91-gallon jugs of key lime juice dumped in through the top of the fermenter.
Okay.
So, you know, it's less sweet, but most importantly, it doesn't taste like artificial flavors, which there are a lot of Radlers and other, you know, larger market fruit beers that, to me, just taste like artificial flavors.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No. Which is why I want to give a shout out to the Five Rabbit Paletas. That is such a delicious
fruit beer.
And that and this Lime Rattler are the two things that I pound all summer long.
But I think the Five Rabbits are even on the sweeter side than this one is. And maybe it's the lime cutting, that acidity cutting through maybe.
Yeah, that could be. A little bit.
I've seen that Five Rabbit Paletas actually, like, they've got taps on like an ice cream truck.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Okay.
So with ours also, we like to, because, you know, low alcohol beer is good in some situations, but yeah. sometimes you just want more alcohol. It's good with gin in it. It's good with sure. mezcal in it. It's good with tequila in it. It's good with dark rum in it. Mm. So we do all of those at home, and we also offer them at the pub.
Yeah. So you and your brother were originally into homebrewing, and you guys made the jump to you know, starting your own place. Where are you guys from originally?
Chicago.
Oh, right on. Cool.
We grew up in Hyde Park. Nice. And
Lacey's over here freaking out. Lacey joined us in the studio, and she's having a mild freak out, so it caught us all off guard. But
she was very quiet.
Yeah, but we are back. We are back. It's we'll just call it the post 30th anniversary mid Great Taste Hangover.
Yeah. So we're from Chicago. We had a long history of enjoying beer. He went out east for college, and then for a few years after, I went out west, and we drank all of the great beers on either coast, mm-hmm. came back to Chicago at a time when, you know, there wasn't a ton of good beer in the Midwest yet. Wisconsin had some good things. The Michigan scene was really starting to get going. Illinois and Minnesota were still really lagging, aside from, like, you know, some notable great exceptions.
Yeah, like early 2000s, late 90s, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, we were very much into the beer scene at a time when, you know, we would know about a beer that was entering the Illinois market before it even arrived, and we'd have tried it somewhere else. And, you know, now can't even keep up with the things our good friends are brewing.
Yeah, no, that became a problem very quickly. It was like a 1 year window where it was like, I can try everything. I don't even know what brewery just opened.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe was it the mayor? I don't know. People ask me and I'm like, I don't know. We got a new mayor, and then you look up and then boom, like you said, there's this, it's everywhere.
Well, let's not give the mayor credit for this.
Right on.
Yeah, I don't know what that perfect storm was. Maybe there's just the solid foundation of the few, and then everyone decided like, oh, we can give this a try. Let's do it.
It's sort of reflecting a nationwide trend, although it does seem like Chicago, more than anywhere else that I'm aware of, is just really exploded.
Yeah. But yeah, we just see new breweries open up all over but Chicago. Yeah.
Combination of like maybe affordable spacing, and then like we're just such a big, we've always been we're a big sports town. And
big drinking town.
Big food and drink town. Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, the affordable space is actually probably a big deal. I know, you know, there's always parts of the city, and which parts in particular change, but there are always parts of the city where if you kind of know the city, the rent is a lot lower than it needs to be.
Right. Sure. So now with these new design cans and everything rolling out, where what's the reach of the beer? Is it only Chicago or?
We're currently in Northern Illinois, Northern Indiana, and Alabama.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Why Alabama?
There's a guy who was familiar with our beer who worked for a distributor down there, and he really wanted to carry our beer, and it wasn't part of our core strategy, but that also meant that we could take a chance and just see what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ordered a truckload of beer, and then a week later they ordered another truckload. They were actually the first ones to get the new formulation of Face Melter. We sent a pallet of 6th barrels down as sort of a special release, and they said that they sold it within an hour of it hitting the dock.
Wow.
And so yeah, it's been a good experience. You know, we have a lot of potential capacity, so we would like to be in the rest of Illinois and Indiana soon. And we'd also like to move gradually west and south. So kind of connect the dots down to Alabama and then head out to Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma maybe.
Okay. That seems like that's, you know, there's two different ways people run it, where it's little shipments all over the place and see what sticks, or like the grow slowly out. And that seems to be the best way I've seen work for people. It's kind of build your core and kind of
that's what we like to do, and you know, I want to have a personal presence at least occasionally in the markets.
Be able
that
to
we
go there
go to
for, at some point.
I think we should go into like Italy and Korea and I'll settle for Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah, it's usually block by block with some exceptions, unless you're Finch. Remember Finch? They were just like all over the place. They were like, let's go to Kentucky. Let's go to Georgia.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were just like a band on the run kind of thing, you know. Yeah, and didn't really set up roots anywhere. They just kind of showed up and then left, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's cool. What's next for you guys, man? I know that you guys typically do a prom every year, which sounds pretty cool. And then you guys really crush it at FOBAB annually. I know, like, you've got a really small barrel program, but it's It's a mighty,
well, thank
mighty
you.
Barrel program.
We did medal in our first two FOBABs. We've now had two where we have not medaled, so we're hoping to get back up to the podium this time around. And yeah, small. I mean, our barrel program is basically wherever you can wedge a barrel in our restaurant. So like under the host stand and next to the bowling lanes, which so. We bought some French wine barrels okay. at one point, and they, you know, came on this long trip, and they showed up late, and they showed up, you know, fairly desiccated, and we put a strong brown ale into them, and one of them did about what you would expect. Another one re-fermented. it was our first barrel that we'd had re-fermenting, so, you know, we didn't see any activity initially. We thought everything was good and we bunged it up. So thankfully we only kind of learned the hard way about this. We put it in the bowling alley, and then we had this holiday party, and some drunk lady in a really nice dress went over to the barrel and pulled out the bung.
Oh no.
Which
way.
so she gets what she deserves. Right, she pulled out the bung, and
you
it was just like
this.
a fountain of beer and foam. And according to the bartender, I wasn't here to see this, she looked around like in terror, dropped the bung, and ran out of the bowling alley, never to be seen again.
This is why we can't have nice things, Brad. Jeez. This is why. What the hell, man?
Drunk people around barrels. How do I get into this beer in there? Yeah.
When you get these barrels, are they do they usually have like booze in them? Like,
yeah, they always have a little booze in them.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I was down in Kentucky, like some places were like, yeah, we extract the booze. And then other places were like, no, we just let it roll. We don't care.
But it'd be in the wood at least.
Yeah, it would be in the wood. The devil's cut. Yeah.
It would be in the wood. And yeah, it's not like much booze in it. But I mean, a pint or something in a 55-gallon barrel, that's pretty much empty.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, because what, the days for FOBAB just got announced, I think, today.
Yeah. Tickets go on sale September 16th. And FOBAB's a two-day affair again this year, November 11th and 12th. That's probably a Friday and Saturday.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. The UIC Forum again, which I know people have mixed feelings about that.
Dude, I'm all about whatever was in Bridgeport, that place. You were at that one, right?
That is a beautiful, beautiful
Dude,
space.
It was so nice. It was legit. I loved it. But
I mean, I understand that there are a lot of people who want to drink these beers. I think it gets back to what we were talking about earlier, where we're kind of spoiled. We get to try a lot of good beers all the time, often for free. So I'm less interested in being in a sort of soulless convention center just for a chance to try some rare beers. But probably the population at large who have fewer chances to see all of these great beers together, like, you know, I mean, I get tired of drinking beer sometimes. So, yeah. So I honestly had the same experience at GABF. I was like, well, I could be here standing in line in this windowless room for some beers, or I could go to a brewery with a patio that's a block away and, you know, get a pint. And
right, yeah.
It was a pretty easy choice for me.
Right. Yeah. The things around GABF are often more fulfilling than the actual party.
On the other hand, if I didn't go to 30 festivals a year, if I it would, I mean, there are a lot of really good beers there, and the density of, you know, good beers that you'll never see again in your life at FOBAB is about as high as anywhere in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Over a calendar year, are you seeing some beers sell more than others? Is it like leaning towards the IPAs? Is it like par for the course? That's how most breweries are nowadays.
Yeah. So since we relaunched with Burnt City, we've really been seeing, and we only have 2 months of data, so it's still early to say, but we've really been seeing the Face Melter take off.
Which is the hibiscus?
The hibiscus IPA.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's great. Hopefully that sustains. It actually kind of took us by surprise. We sort of take pride in walking that fine line between underproduction and overproduction, where we can always say yes to our distributors, but we don't have beer getting old out there. We actually misjudged, because the growth of Face Melter was so quick compared to Rookery, which it replaced, that we are down to our last 20 cases in the factory, and we're probably going to have to short some people next month.
Face Melter is a pretty rad name.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah. And Ben is back at the brewery brewing it like a sucker while I'm here drinking beer with you guys.
Right on. And then you've got the Birdman, Christian Berdillis, at the brew pub. Shout out to him.
Yes. That's, Oh, yeah. He does a great job, obviously.
Right on.
Well, that's awesome. I'm digging the new design. I'm digging these two beers. I think I had the Lime Rattler on the boat.
Oh, yeah, on Kurt Foreman's boat, on the small brewer's cruise.
I think it's perfect on the boat. I'm liking it even more. Now that I got like a full glass of it, a full can. Awesome. Yeah,
I've got to get a six pack and go handle this dark rum situation that he just put in my ear. I'm excited about that.
Like, you were on your bourbon whiskey trip. Now you're like, all right, rum time, right?
Dude, I got two bars at home now, man. I need. This is a plea for help.
It is National Rum Day, so you should.
Today
get on
is.
It. Yeah.
Oh.
Should get on it.
Wow, I feel like a jerk for not bringing rum.
I don't think we don't need to add more alcohol into the podcast. Well, that's all. That's awesome. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, this was cool, man. I'm really glad you guys came out, man. Thank you so much for stopping in on CBP.
Where can people get in learn about Burnt City, like find out what events you guys have coming up?
Twitter and Facebook are really good ways to hear what events we have coming up. You know, we have a website as well, if kids still do that these days. And then, obviously, just going by the pub, we sort of stopped largely advertising every time we tap a new beer just because there are so many new beers all the time.
Sure.
But pretty much any time you go into the pub, there will be something new on tap. We really mix it up a lot and doing a lot of fun stuff. So going by the pub to see what beers are on tap and throwing some balls. And
you can eat there too.
Yeah, the food's fantastic there.
Thanks.
And I like that it's old school bowling too, like where it's just like paper and pen. You know.
Oh, yeah, paper and pen and all mechanical. So.
Yeah, really cool, like French-inspired like beer artwork on the walls.
Although that's gone since the redesign.
Oh, really?
But I think the new design is even cooler.
Okay, cool. Get more of a reason to check it out.
So, Nick, where can people find out what you're up to?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicotio.
Was there pictures of Bourbon Country on there?
Not yet, but okay. We can make that happen.
What stays in Bourbon Country? I fucked that up.
Dude, this bourbon cream, though, man. This bourbon cream from Buffalo Trace, man. Oh, dude, I'm excited. Man.
And you can follow me on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Our website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there, so be sure to subscribe, listen, do everything there. And Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We post the episodes, events, other things we come across as well, photos.
Yeah.
So check that out. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Take care.
Cheers.